Today on Straight Talk Africa, the Democratic Republic of the Congo presidential election results dispute. That discussion is coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. I am Sheikh Asali. On today's topic, the disputed presidential election results in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. The presidential election in the Democratic Republic of the Congo is over, but the fallout from this contentious poll is building up. Several African bodies are calling for a recount, and the candidate who says he was cheated out of victory is challenging the official election results in court. My colleague Anita Powell reports from Pretoria.
The man who believes he was cheated of the Democratic Republic of Congo's presidency is appealing to a higher power. Opposition coalition leader Martin Fayulu, who was favored by polls to win the December 30th vote, filed to the Constitutional Court Saturday for a recount.
We have faith, and our faith is intact, undaunted, because the people have decided, and the will of the people will be realized. I'm a man of faith.
Congo's election body declared opposition leader Felix Tshisekedi provisional winner last week, sparking surprise and outrage after a chaotic and widely criticized poll. The Southern African Development Community, SADC, called for a recount of the vote and a government of national unity. Their call was supported late Sunday by another African bloc, the International Conference of the Great Lakes Region.
It is a departure from how they've handled other electoral crises in member states. It's also certainly a departure from some of the weaker statements that SADC has made on the DRC. It's really taken a very hands-off approach to this electoral crisis over the last 3 years. So it's a surprise. In terms of how effective it can be, I think we have some doubts.
The body in charge of declaring a recount, the Constitutional Court, is loyal to longtime President Joseph Kabila. Although Kabila is stepping down, analysts think he aims to play a dominant role behind the scenes when, or if, Tshisekedi takes office. The Electoral Commission announced the ruling Common Front for Congo, FCC party, led the parliamentary vote. That means the president-elect, who heads the Union for Democracy and Social Progress, UDPS party, may have some political struggles ahead.
If there is marriage between the FCC and UDPS, not to last for very long, it will be a very, it's a marriage it's not a marriage by conviction. And that's a problem. And they will have serious tension.
Fayulu says he won't back down, but the Electoral Commission chief says Congo should prepare for Tshisekedi's inauguration.
The speech by the President of the Republic, all else being equal, will happen on the 22nd of January.
Before that can happen, the court needs to decide, recount the vote or risk legitimacy by letting the results stand. Anita Powell, VOA News, Pretoria.
Joining us today in the studio, I expected to be two distinguished guests. One of them is right here, the Reverend Olivier Chekina, senior advisor and strategist to Felix Tshisekedi, the DRC president-elect, and Father Jean-Claude Atusameso, president of the Jatuki Providence Foundation, who is expected to be representing the DRC Catholic Bishop's position on the presidential election results, has not yet arrived, is caught up somewhere in traffic. And last but not least, Mulegwa Zihindura, Assistant National Security Advisor for External Affairs of the DRC, will be joining us via telephone link-up from the capital, Kinshasa. Well, I have to say, Olivier, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa for the first time.
Well, Brother Shaka, I'm very happy to be here as well. I'm honored to be on your show today.
Very interesting. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
How do you feel like, especially given that finally, the election is over?
I feel very good. Congolese people have demonstrated their determination to choose their own leaders, and they did elect the new president. Ms. Félix Tshisekedi.
Any particular concern, given that that particular victory is in fact being disputed by the run-up?
Well, I would not take that as the end of the world. It is not the first time elections have been disputed in the world. In fact, we had one just recently in Madagascar. And around the world, elections have been disputed. And even here on the grounds where you and I are sitting in the United States, elections have been disputed. So I have no concern whatsoever on that.
But aren't you really, or shouldn't you in fact be concerned, especially given the history of elections in your country? Because frankly, the last time I checked, it looks like the only election that probably was accepted by most people across the board was the one of the 1960, which eventually elected the first indigenous prime minister by the name, of course, you know,
the great
Patirisi,
yes,
Emery Lumumba,
yes,
who of course subsequently was assassinated.
Yes.
Aren't you concerned about the fact that almost every other election in recent years, for example, 2011, it was disputed by none other than Etienne Tshisekedi, who happens to be father of the young man Félix Tshisekedi, who happens now to be president-elect?
Yes. Well, I am concerned by the fact that these issues are being made too big than they are. I do agree with you that in the past we had these elections that have been disputed, but this time around is very different because this is the very first alternative. The very first time an opposition leader is winning an election and an incumbent president is actually leaving power. This is a big deal. So I think the world should be rejoicing at this time instead of making this huge deal as we see in the media.
But you also know, of course, that even the one of 2006 was also disputed by a one Jean-Pierre Bemba.
Yes, it was disputed by Jean-Pierre Bemba that I happen to know well. Like I said, those elections in the past, 2006 and 2011, I did dispute them myself. But this one is very different. President Kabila is stepping out of power. We have a historic political party, the largest political party in Congo, having their president becoming the next president of DRC. To me, it is a big deal. I would not compare these elections with the two ones in 2006 and 2011. And keep in mind that we are a young democracy. We would not think that we want to be perfect when great democracies like the United States still have election issues. So the world should not expect perfection from us.
Well, time, of course, happens not to be our best ally, so we will go for a short... Well, you know, there's no... Talking about democracy, there's no democracy in Studio 47 right here, because when the producer tells you to go on or to do this or that, you have to go. Like
Absolutely.
A loyal soldier, you just salute. Let me take you back to the issue of democracy. You really think that you are a young democracy? Because there are a lot of people who say the only relationship that the Democratic Republic of the Congo has with democracy or the concept of democracy is the name, the fact that it is called the Democratic Republic of the Congo. That other than that, there are no really other reflections of democracy in your country.
Well, I do understand that part. And like I said, we are not perfect and we don't pretend to be. But at least, like you said yourself, since 1996, 1960, when the great Lumumba was elected as prime minister, we didn't have any kind of election. I mean, when I'm talking about election, I'm talking about two people going and being voted by the people. We didn't have that. You know the kind of elections we had under Mobutu.
For 32 years.
And after that, we had President Laurent Désiré Kabila, the father of President Joseph Kabila, coming into power by force. And you know how he went out. And then President Kabila took over to go through the transition. So the first election ever Congo had was in 2006. I mean, when you had two contenders contending to be elected. So to me, it is a beginning of democracy. Though we might not have it all, but at least we have left. We have not arrived yet, but I think we have left.
Someone might actually say that, Olivier, you do have a very good reason why you would react like that, especially because it is your candidate that was declared the winner.
Well, I will tell you right now that if it was Mr. Fayulu, another opposition leader, if he was declared a winner, I would have accepted that because in my view, it was very well balanced. I am surprised that some people are surprised to see Felix Tshisekedi winning. To me, an opposition leader was going to win anyways, either Fayulu or Tshisekedi. So I'll present to you some facts to show you that it is surprising to be people surprised to see Felix Tshisekedi winning.
Why would you say that it really had to be an opposition candidate winning? Would that suggest that President Joseph Kabila has in fact been politically occupying space for the last 18 years?
Well, we know how these things happen in Africa, and incumbent presidents, they have worked for many years for some of them, and when you get used to power, it becomes difficult. And also, opposition leaders don't make it easy when they use some kind of languages like threatening the incoming president. So if you would tell me that when I leave power, you will come after me, I might think twice before I leave. So this also can explain why presidents tend to stay longer in power. And I was watching the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Belgium saying the same thing the other day, that if we want a true change of power in Africa, we need to send a strong message to tell president, incoming president, that they will be safe after the presidency. So I think I'm not trying to justify the fact that the president stay longer or trying to say that they occupy political space. But I think some of these reasons, we need to address them and get to change things.
I think that there is incontrovertible evidence suggesting that a lot of African countries really are on track. I was last, for example, in July in the Republic of Malawi, where I sat down in a one-on-one interview with a former Malawian president, Bakili Mulusi, who has actually been out of State House for more than 10 years. And he says there is life after State House.
Yes.
He says there is no problem. And in fact, he was having a ball. He was enjoying himself, being free to live in his country. And in a sense, his people thanking him for his services. So why do we really have to worry about having transitions, smooth transitions. It has happened in Ghana. Mm-hmm. It has happened in Benin, where you had, at one time, a dictator, Matthew Kareku. Mm-hmm. He was, in fact, defeated as an incumbent by Sogolo. Yes. Sogolo came in power, spent only one term, only to be defeated by Matthew Kareku. Mm-hmm. And then Kareku served his constitutional term limits and went on, and Benin still continues. And there are several other countries that we can talk about.
Yes, and so Congo is adding itself on that list. Mm-hmm. Now, for the first time ever, having President Kabila stepping aside,
yeah,
and having a new president, it is encouraging to other presidents that it is possible to have life after the presidency.
Any particular reason why, for example, Kabila's coalition of parties would lose the presidency, but in fact win the legislative assembly in a huge landslide?
Well, that's the reason why we are disputing that part of election. Mm-hmm. We think we are claiming at least 70 seats in the assembly.
You have about 30 seats, correct?
No, we have 40. We all together with the other party that is in a coalition with us,
yes,
we have
yes.
49.
49.
Yeah.
How did you do in the province of Kasai, where the big man comes from?
We won big. We
you won
big. Huge, yes.
You won big.
We did. And yeah. So we did in other regions as well, like in Katanga and Kinshasa and other places. We have won. As you know, UDPS, the party that is led by Felix Tshisekedi, is implemented everywhere in Congo.
Yes.
That even the reason why I am surprised, again, to see people surprised that Felix Tshisekedi won this election, because he had the real voters. So I don't know why some medias, I don't know about yours, they seem to be surprised. When you have a guy who is leading the largest party in the country, implemented everywhere, having true voters, why would he not win?
In fact, some people are saying that it is not an election, but rather, in their words, not mine, a selection. That this is not about an election whose results at the end of the day reflect the will of the people, but rather an election that is organized in such a way that at the end of the day, the results reflect the will of the individual who announces the results.
Well, there's no reason whatsoever for people to think that way, and there's no evidence for that. Like I said, Felix Tshisekedi, all the facts show that he could have won this election. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I also think Mr. Fayulu could have won this election. It could have gone either way. Let me give you, would you allow me to give you a few facts?
Sure.
That makes me surprised that people are surprised. The first one is the one I told you. Felix Tshisekedi is leading the largest political organization implemented everywhere in Congo with true voters. Not just curious people that are coming to see you in the meeting, but actual people committed and engaged, ready for anything, right?
And how effective, in fact, are those structures, if they are in place, as you say? How effective are they,
the
structures of the party?
They are very, very effective. And we see that on the ground when, like, we call for a demonstration, when we call for people to stay home. We see that. On the other hand, we see Mr. Fayulu just a few days before the election. He wasn't able to have his people stay home. Mm. He said people should stay home, don't go to work, Everybody went out, everybody went to work, everybody went to school. So if these people are ready to vote for you, they should be ready to follow you. They should be ready to obey what you say. But when Mr. Tshisekedi says people should stay home, we see that observed in the whole country. And before the election, Mr. Fayulu was campaigning against the voting machine. And they had a demonstration against the voting machine. Mm. They called for people to go demonstrate. We had like probably a few hundreds of people on the streets. And that made them so frustrated against Felix, who happened to say, I will go to the election with or without the machine. Why were they frustrated? Just because if Felix is not with them, nobody's coming out. They knows they actually know the power of UDPS. They know the power of his party. That's why they were counting on the party to help them send people out and boycott the election. Since we said no, and they started coming after Felix. So there is no reason for people to be surprised that this man won the election. It could have been possible for him or Fayulu to win the election.
Olivier, unfortunately, once again, time is not our best ally. Before we pause for a short break, we would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now streaming live on Facebook. To watch our show, just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa and don't forget to share it with your friends. We are on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka. And join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOADRC, and we'll air some of your comments later in the show. We'll be right back with you, so please don't go away.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
Could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on the Voice of America. For more information, visit our website at www.voanews.com/African Beat.
Today's youth are not just the next generation of African leaders, they are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them, today, not tomorrow. So let's connect, let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies.
Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known.
It's Upfront every Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, right here on the Voice of America.
Well, I have to say that we are very, very delighted to be joined by Father Jean-Claude Atusameso, president of the Jatukik Providence Foundation. He represents the DRC Catholic Bishop's position on the presidential election results. I have to say that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to be able to host you at least for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Well, thank you so much. And I would like to correct something. I'm a Catholic priest from Congo and member of the Bishops' Conference, like as a priest of Congo. But here I'm not coming as a representative, but I'm talking on I'm talking as a Catholic priest.
No, just representing the position of your colleagues.
Of the Church of Congo.
In the Church of Congo,
yeah,
the Catholics.
Yeah. But I would like to make sure that I'm not having mandate to do it, but I'm doing it because I belong to the Church of Congo.
Do you believe in the position that the Catholic bishops in Congo have taken regarding the recent elections?
Yes, I believe in it. And that's the mission the Congo's church has been playing all the time as the church in the village. And the church in the village is doing the best to lead the people so that all the parties can be happy with the expectations of what they're getting after these elections.
From the information that you have accessed, do you think there is enough evidence, in fact, incontrovertible evidence, that supports the position of the Catholic bishops in Kinshasa about this election?
The Catholic bishops was very clear to Father Nchole, who's the Secretary General of the Catholic bishops. He said their mission was to be observers, to witness the process of the elections. And they did their best to have a representative in each a station where they had elections. Now, according to all the document, all the evidence they have, that's what made them claim what they're claiming. And I remember Father Chole saying that he received even Mr. Vital Kamere with the summer members of UDPS. They came also with their evidence of showing what they're claiming as having a Felix Tshisekedi, the winner of the elections. And it was seen after the meeting that each party came with evidence of what they got on the ground, and their evidence was similar. But for the Catholic Church, they had more numbers of witnesses on the ground. That's why they were able to claim what they are claiming. And it's according to the evidence they're getting from the ground.
Olivier, you are a reverend. You are a man of God.
Yes.
To what extent, for example, do you respect the Catholic bishops on the ground in Kinshasa?
Well, I have a great deal of respect for the Catholic bishops. Of course, I do respect them. There's no extent. I have no issue with the Catholic bishops and Cardinal Mosengo, who is a great man, the Bishop Ambongo and others. They have done a great job to secure the St. Sylvester Agreement in 2006. So I do respect them, of course.
So what about, given that you respect them, what about the position that they have taken regarding this just-ended election?
I do respect them, and I do respect their position, but I do not agree with the position. I can respect your position,
yeah,
but I don't agree with that position because there's no facts to back that position. I can raise doubt on the methodologies they have used to come up with those results. And also, I should mention that it is not the Catholic bishop's role or job to announce the results of an election. It belongs to the Electoral College to announce the final and official results.
Their crime is not announcing the results. Their crime is coming up with data, with information that they say contradicts the announced result.
Yeah, I do understand. And we do have also the data that show that Felix Tshisekedi has won the election. So I don't know. I can't fight with the Catholic bishops. I can only show them that there is a doubt in my mind.
Are you Catholic?
I used to be Catholic.
I
grew up a Catholic, yeah.
I see. Very interesting. I gather that we have restored line with the capital, Kinshasa. Good evening, Mulegwa Zihindura.
Good evening, Brother Shaka. Good to hear your voice, sir.
How are you?
I am doing terrific, like you always say. We have beautiful weather in Kinshasa. It's raining, and you know rain is a source of blessings or benedictions, if you want.
I like that. Let me introduce you first of all. Mulegwa Zihindura is the Assistant National Security Advisor responsible for external security. And he joins us live from the capital, Kinshasa. Well, I have to say, Mulegwa, that once again, I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on this edition of Straight Talk Africa.
The feelings are mutual, Brother Shaka.
I like that. Now, talk to us, Mulegwa. What is the situation like from your vantage point? Are people happy celebrating about the just-ended elections?
Well, I think the people of Congo know that we have made history. Congo, the President Joseph Kabila today is a great leader in Africa. He has done something that nobody has done in Central Africa, which is to give up power to the opposition. And this is fantastic. It's fantastic news. We are now, again, I repeat, the most democratic country in Central Africa and part of East Africa. So I am profoundly proud, and as many Congolese people are very proud, and you could hear the noise on December 31st when people were very celebrating to see that the inclusive political system that was started by Kabila is now, the baton is being handed to somebody of the opposition. So there's euphoria in this town. Everybody's very happy.
Not many people perhaps will disagree with you, Mulegwa, especially given the politics of the Great Lakes region. There's no question that when you look around the neighborhood, you will find that there are some individuals who have been presidents for more than 30 years. South, of course, of you, Angola, you had a president who was also in power for more than 30 years. Neighboring Rwanda, you have a president who was in power for not only a long time, but in fact intended to stay on for a very, very long time. But what people are having problems with, Mulegwa, is that they probably have problems with the manner in which the president is stepping down. They think that he has provided, some of these people say that they have, he has presided over an election which is won by someone, as they say, is not the genuine winner of the presidency. How do you react to that?
No, I think people, well, President Kabila started this inclusive political system. The elections on December 30th were free and fair. If you read reports from the organization of Francophonie in many countries that were observers, these were fantastic elections. People expected us to have bloodshed. People expected us to actually cheat. And this did not happen. The machine that people were criticizing that they would cheat actually produced somebody who's not of our political obedience. So, you know, there is absolutely no question in my mind that these elections were free and fair. These were fantastic elections. They went well, and they produced a winner who is not of our political family.
What about other sources which are saying no, Mulegwa, especially, in fact, the Catholic bishops in the Democratic Republic of Congo, who are actually saying that this election, especially the president, the presidential one, was the result and the reflection of, in their words, not mine, of what they call massive rigging, creative accounting, some others would say.
Well, the Catholic Church is an NGO like any NGO, and they had a role as an observer. They did not have the role to call out the election and say such and such a person won. Basically, what the Catholic Church is doing now, you know, I think what the priest should be doing now, many of these bishops who came up with these figures, you know, maybe they should just take off their robes and go on the streets as politicians. You know, they obviously had somebody that they favored and they wanted that person to win. And when this person did not win, they began to say that there was problems. So the Catholic Church is not the Electoral Commission. They do not have access to all the information that the Electoral Commission has. You know, so you know, it's very sad that the Catholic Church has decided to try to put fuel on the fire in this country. It's not going to happen. God is actually on the side, not necessarily of the Catholic Church, but on the side of the Congolese people. And the Congolese people have won a victory. It doesn't matter what the Catholic Church says because they do not have the data that has the Electoral Commission. You know, the church has no business calling the election and say such and such and person won. It's not possible. We know who won the election. It's Felix Tshisekedi. We are all looking forward to handing power to him sometimes next week. I believe it's Tuesday next week. We will hand power to him. You know, we are waiting for the Constitutional Court to make a decision. And once that decision is done, we will hand over power to Felix Tshisekedi, and life will continue for the rest of us.
Talking about life continuing, what about your opinion about the Catholic Church as an institution? It is said by a lot of sources that it is probably one of the few, if not the only one probably, in the entire country that commands great respect. What about you? Do you respect the Catholic Church as an institution in
Absolutely.
The DRC?
Absolutely. I respect the church as an institution. I am myself a member of the clergy, not in the Catholic Church. And so I have a lot of respect for the church. But the church's business is to take care of the population. But the church's business is not to go into political arenas and begin to make decision who is going to rule the country. We are aware that the Catholic Church is the biggest church in the country, but that stops there. So what they should be doing is to be preaching people things about salvation, to bring people to Christ and to reconcile people, not to try to create division. It's not the whole Catholic Church. It's just a group of priests that is bound on having a particular person win the elections that is doing this. But the church as a whole, I'm a very big fan of John Paul II. So the Catholic Church is something that I respect quite a bit.
Now, someone has suggested that when you think about the DRC, and you think about the influence of the Catholic Church, that you are looking at Congo in the context, say, of Latin America, like one would look at Brazil. Brazil, for example, is considered to be a Catholic country where the church is, Catholic Church is revered and what have you, and that so does the Congo. Is that true?
Well, no, it's absolutely not true. That comparison is not correct. There's a lot of churches. Congo is mostly a Christian country, and there's a lot of churches who are pretty dominant here. The Protestant church, the Pentecostal church, is pretty strong in this country. So is the Catholic Church. Not every Congolese person is Catholic here. You know, and the Catholic Church has some say in influencing people. But the Catholic Church does not govern the Democratic Republic of Congo.
It is very interesting that you say that. I also am reminded of the fact that you, Mulegwa Zindura yourself, you actually happen to be a priest. You have a church in Kinshasa. I saw the church the last time I was downtown Kinshasa. So I happen also perhaps to be a host, really, a television host who is very, very lucky in the sense that I have had the opportunity of hosting three individuals who are very senior members in the Christian Church.
Correct.
And if that is true, I would like to think that you are people who are servants of God, and that in this particular edition, we are going to be talking about nothing but the truth. Do you agree?
Amen. Yes, I do agree. I'm an ordained apostle, and I preach the gospel. It's my calling in life is to preach the gospel. And the Bible says, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. And the truth of the matter in Congo right now is that Felix Tshisekedi won the election. The truth of the matter in Congo right now is that President Kabila is now the best leader in Central Africa. He's the only person in the history of Central Africa to give up power to the opposition. So these are the truth, and nobody is going to take this truth away from the Congolese people.
Mulegwa, if you were to talk to us from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your Bukavu heart and soul, would you say, for example, that the bishops, the Catholic bishops, are telling lies when they say that the information they have, the data they have, reflects an entirely different result from that announced by the Congolese Electoral Commission?
What I can say from the bottom of my heart, Brother Shaka, is that the Catholic Church had the preference of a particular person. They wanted that person to become president of the Democratic Republic of Congo. But the Congolese population decided otherwise. The Congolese population chose Felix Tshisekedi to run this country, to be a successor to Joseph Kabila. But the Catholic Church obviously had a preference. They had somebody who they preferred to become the president of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Unfortunately, God had another plan, and the plan is Felix Tshisekedi.
Mulegwa Zihindura, could you please name names? Who is that particular candidate that was the favorite of the Catholic Church? Could you please name his name?
Well, yes, I can. You know, their candidate was Martin Fayulu. They wanted Martin Fayulu to win for reasons that are obvious to them. And also because some of our old colonial master who still has ideas of running this country, I'm talking about Belgium, because they were funding most of the campaign being done by the Catholic Church. And the Belgians actually had preference, like the Catholic Church, for Martin Fayulu. And that's why you are hearing all these rumors and so on and so forth. The Belgians have even gone to the extent of to call the African Union in Addis Ababa, asking them on behalf of the Catholic Church to support Martin Fayulu.
What about a British newspaper by the name Financial Times? Have you read their article about their assessment of the results in the DRC?
Unfortunately, I have not read their assessment, but I have given you the right picture of what happened in the elections. Now, if you have other people from overseas who have other ideas, you know, who probably had plans, other plans for Congo, I know many of the mining companies, for instance, and are very happy because they wanted Martin Fayulu so they can get rid of the mining code in the Democratic Republic of Congo. This did not happen. And so they are funding a lot of people to say all kinds of things about this election. But the truth of the matter, somebody won the election, which is Felix Tshisekedi, and we hope after the constitutional courts examine what happened, that Felix Tshisekedi will be taking the reins of this country from us. And then he will rule this country for the next 5 years, and other people can come and vie for the presidency.
How do you react to that, Father Atusameso?
Personally, I would like to say that when you're speaking, you said about what the Catholic Church said, and after that you said what the British said. And you are showing that it's not just about the Catholic Church, because other also observers could also say what the Catholic Church said.
But what about what about some who will say that some of those sources, like the Financial Times, mm-hmm. they probably may have gotten their information mm-hmm. from the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. For the New York Times, I will let you know that the person who wrote the New York Times is not a person working for New York Times. It's someone from Kinshasa who called to buy a space on New York Times to bring that news. And I know very well what was the mind of that person who did it. Now, for me, as an expert in international development, an expert in politician, and being in the U.S. for more than 17 years, I will say that the problem of Congo is not the elections. The problem of Congo is not the Catholic bishops. The problem of the Congo is the people who make the system be the way it is, letting people act the way they are acting and expecting a different result. Here in the U.S., more than 2 or 3 years, we have been seeing Félix Tshisekedi came, Martin Fayulum came, and all of those people came many times to say that the structure we put in place for election will not help us to have a reliable result for elections. No one could listen to them. And everyone expected to let the same structure. I know even that one of the people who works at the CENI was from UDPS. They wanted to have this guy out because the system was not in place for them to trust the system. But no one was agree that they could change the system. Now, what we are having today is the result what we could expect, because we know what we set up as a machine, and we know what we saw during the election time, and we need just to expect the result we're having today. Now, if people are fighting, saying the Catholic Church, that's not the point. The point is the structure which was organized the election, everyone at the beginning said that it was not the right structure, and they're supposed to change it. They didn't change it. And the result we have now is the result we're going to get.
Really? So would you agree with someone, therefore, who would say, when it comes to the manner in which the just-completed election was organized, is or was like a couple planning a marriage while concentrating on divorce?
To answer your question, I will just tell you to see what happened during the elections. Now we have an elected president, but one part of the country didn't have the election, and they're going to explain that they didn't have election because of the Ebola.
Voting in March.
In March, but did you have that system set up already somewhere in the world?
And
or it's going to be the first time for you?
And to what extent will that vote in fact count?
That's the question. You understand? We have been doing the same thing, the same way, and we're expecting a different result. Will not happen. It will never happen in the world.
You're talking about a gentleman called Einstein. Einstein one time said, if you basically do different things, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Eh?
Mm-hmm.
You do different things than whatever you expecting the same results.
Yeah.
You must be insane.
Yeah. In some way, in order for us to expect something, we need to start planning, organizing on the ground in order for us to have that. But we saw Félix Tshisekedi was here. I saw him at the State Department. He was here at the Congress. I know even that they even went to the UN to say that we need to structure in another way that commission, independent commission, in order for us to have a good result. They didn't do it. Then we have this result. Everyone need now to understand that we could expect just that result. We couldn't expect something different.
So you don't really think that the election was free, fair, and credible?
It's not just about thinking. It's about seeing what we had on the ground. It's not about thinking.
What, Olivier, how do you react to that?
Well, I think when Reverend Father is talking about the Electoral Commission, in the past when people came here and tried to have some help to change that, nothing happened. So if we didn't intervene back then, if we knew, I was talking to somebody the other day who said the Electoral Commission is corrupt. I said, you don't have to say that now. You would have said that then and intervened to try to make changes.
Before the elections.
If you didn't do that, why are you now raising all these doubts and all these things? I think it is simply a distraction. My question is...
But he's telling you that, just like Professor Einstein once said, that organizing an election in the Democratic Republic of the Congo is like repeating the same mistakes over and over and over again, but in fact, expecting different results.
I disagree, Brother Shaka, because everybody I spoke to, including those that are disputing, they all agree that this election was way better than the ones we had before. Because I was talking to someone the other day, and he was disputing the result. I said, listen, so do you want then the election, the results to be nullified and canceled to start over? He said, no, we don't start over because we believe this election was good enough. It was better than any other. So then accept the results. So who is benefiting from all these distractions that are going on? I believe there is some dark powers behind the scenes that are trying to distract us. This is not the time for that. People expected a chaos in Congo, but people are rejoicing. It has not happened. People are rejoicing. People are happy. Probably few people. Everywhere there is disputes. Well, if here in the United States, people dispute election, it happened. Why are people...
And they go to court.
They go to court.
And in the Congo, the DRC, they have also gone to court.
They have to go to court and accept because, like I said before, I made a mistake. The commission, the Electoral Commission announced the results, provisional results, and then the court received the request for those who want to dispute and then announced the final results, and everybody should abide by that.
But what about some people who say, and in fact, they are not few, they are very many, who say that you cannot really trust the court, just like a lot of other institutions in the DRC, because the judiciary system in the DRC, in their words, not mine, is not independent. It is subordinate to the executive, who happens to be President Joseph Kabila.
Whoever is bringing that narrative right now has no solution whatsoever to give to us. We don't want to be distracted at this point. We want solutions. We don't want people to start. People are raising issues without proposing any solution. So then I told another person the other day who told me the same thing that you just said. I said, then you want to come to Congo and then destroy all the institutions in the country, and then make Congo become a colony again and do whatever you want, and then make a perfect election you want to make, and then have a president you want and start over.
Are you alluding to the Beregians?
Yes.
Who were the last colonial master?
Well, they're trying to do the same thing again.
And perhaps have the dubious privilege of or distinction of, in fact, having organized the only election back in 1960, that up to now could be the gold standard because it produced a winner, Patrice Emery Lumumba.
Yeah. We have no issues with the nation's friends, including the Belgians. Our hands, our arms are open to anyone, but we have no instructions and I would say injunctions to receive from people to tell us what we have to do. Friends should advise us. Friends should share with us their views and let us tell them what we think. So I think what is going on right now is simply a distraction. A new president is elected, and a historic political opposition party has won the election. I mean, the president of that party has won the election. This is only logical. This is only normal. Mr. Fayulu, until the end of October last year, he was unknown. And we saw right after they had their coalition in Geneva.
He was unknown politically. But he had been a member of parliament at one time, isn't it?
Of course, like you said it, I didn't say it. And how many MP he had in his party? Probably 3 or 4, if I remember. I do respect Martin Fayulu very well, but I think it is not surprising to have Felix Tshisekedi, who is a well-known leader, winning the election. I know the French medias and Belgian medias, they have come to back him right after the coalition in Geneva. And big interest groups, they poured a lot of money to try to make him known. I do understand. But he went on the ground trying to fight against the election. He campaigned against the voting machine. His message was so confusing. Until the last minute, and only a few days before the election, he said, oh, finally, people should go vote with the machine. How come you can win an election on that big margins, 62 as they're claiming, when your message was confusing? You've been all over the place, and all the facts go against you, and all the facts go for the one who is the winner of the election, bigger party, well-known, clear message. He went everywhere, spoke to his people. So all the facts go against Fayulu. That's why I say people are mocking our intelligence. They are mocking our ability to think when they are showing us that they are surprised that Felix Tshisekedi won the election. They are mocking our ability to think.
Mulegwa Zihindura.
Yes, Brother Shak.
There are people who say that most elections in Africa are not meant for the primary stakeholder, who happens to be a citizen of that particular country, like in your case, but that these elections, in fact, are held for the development partners. How do you react to that?
Well, I will say if that is the case in other countries, it's not the case in the Democratic Republic of Congo. In Africa also, nobody from the opposition ever wins the elections. But we are the first country again, and I am so proud to have been part of this process, to see this, that one day I'll be able to tell this story to my children, that we are the first African country to hand power over to the opposition. And I am so proud of that. I am so proud that Joseph Kabila is a man of his own words. He said he will not stick around. He did not stick around. He said we are going to go to the elections. We went to the elections. He said we will hand over power, and we are going to be handing over power next Tuesday. So I am so proud of this, Brother Shaka. I cannot tell you.
I'll correct you in saying that you are not the Congolese people. You are not the first country to hand over power to the opposition, because the last time I checked, Kenya did that in 2003, and even Benin under dictator Matthew Kareku accomplished that in the 1990s.
Well, I think that can be disputed in many ways. I think that can be disputed in many ways.
Unfortunately,
you know,
time happens not to be...
At some of the countries you said, I am not going to say anything bad about other countries.
Time happens not to be our best ally. On that note, we thank today's guests, the Reverend Olivier Shekina, Father Jean-Claude Atusameso, and Mulegwa Zihindura, who joined us on the phone from Kinshasa. Also, thanks to our audience for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.